Imagine yourself being beside Jesus Christ before the throne. Try to imagine yourself being beside Jesus Christ before the throne of God the Father. All right. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 18 tonight. We're going to look at one of the parables. How to come before God. How to come before God. The parables are always a shocker culturally, and this one is no exception to the rule. It would have been an eye-opener to the people listening to it. If you would have been seeking for spiritual advice, you would have most likely talked to a Pharisee, one of the Levites, and you would get advice from them about how to approach God. Well, Christ comes along and he says that you can put on that outward veneer, but our heart may not be right. And so the attitude of heart is very important. We have to be careful about our fleshly advances in the things of God. That sounds like a strange term, fleshly advances in the things of God. What do you mean by that? Well, when we take the grace, I like that prayer, Kurt, by the way. When we take the graces and we take them for granted, and then we think that we have actually become better than other people. Now we have spiritually, but it's all due to who? It's Christ. But the Pharisees were trying to go about earning a righteousness beyond other people. You know, we're not in spiritual competition. If you want to play sports, all that's fine. I mean, I hate losing at ping pong. You know, it's just in the blood, you know. But when you lose, be gracious about it, you know. And maybe next year I can win that cornhole at a church picnic. I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes. Ray, do you like winning or losing? I mean, which Ray likes. Do lose every now and then. So these things happen. You play to win, absolutely. But when it comes to spiritual things, we're not in competition with one another. We're actually trying to help one another cross the finish line. What is the finish line? A perfect likeness to Jesus Christ. And we looked at that some on a Sunday night. But here we have an attitude of heart in two men that Jesus is going to expose the condition of their heart. On our papers, before we read this, I want to just make this opening statement. Our attitude of heart is either one of honoring ourselves or humbling ourselves before God. Honoring ourselves before the throne of grace, that's called an oxymoron, contrary to what right thinking should be. Our attitude of heart is either one of honoring ourselves or humbling ourselves before God. All right, Luke 18, 9 through 14. Luke 18, starting in verse 9. And Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. So where do they think their righteousness rests? Tell me. In themselves, not Christ, in themselves. Okay. And this is always the result of when it happens. How do they look at other people? Tell me, by the text, what's the text say? They despise them. They look down their nose at them. Okay. So then Jesus is going to tell this parable to show that attitude of heart. Two men, verse 10, went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. What is a publican? A sinner. Everybody thinks a tax man's a sinner on, what is it? April 15th, yeah. Okay. Sometimes it's hard to give honor to whom honor is due, especially the tax man, yes or no? This is true. This is true. But God still said do it, so remember that. In fact, I want to tell you, some guy called me, one of my buddies down in North Carolina, he said, oh, man, I can't believe it. I've got to pay $70,000 in taxes this year. And he said, you know what that means? I said, before he went on, I said, yes, that means you made a lot of money. That's what that means. To which he quieted down the rest of the conversation. I said, wouldn't it be nice? We ought to just start praying that you don't have to pay so much tax, you know. He said, no, don't do that, because that means, yes, that you wouldn't make him exactly. So, anyways. A publican would be particularly despised. By the way, this is not Republican. I want to make sure that's clear. A publican was a tax collector. He was a Jew, Jewish. Do you know of any of them, by the way, that were saved? He was a wee little man. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord and wanted to see. What's his name? His name Zacchaeus. So, in other words, the Roman government hired a Jew to make sure the other Jews paid their taxes, and then he added some to it himself, and he was getting rich, and the people did what? They despised him. But Jesus is exposing the attitude of heart here in these two people. Pharisee comes in the temple and a publican. And believe me, everybody's listening. Verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. That is so sanctimonious, isn't it? I thank thee. And then he goes on, that I am not as other men are, extortioners, thieves, unjust in their dealings, adulterers, or even as this publican. Can you imagine the publican hearing this? I mean, we're in church here, you know. Don't you think you can, you're still busting me, is what he would say in the vernacular, you know. Yes, he was. But he goes on further. I fast twice in the week. What does fast mean? Forgo eating. There are, generally it's a food fast. There's other things too. Every now and then a college will say, we're having a special revival meeting or something this week. Could you do an electronic fast, a phone fast? And everybody playing their games and what have you. These young people are like, oh, but I'm just so used to that. You'll make it through. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Anything wrong with those things, by the way, in the right heart attitude, yes or no? No. But when you use them to exalt yourself and insult other people, then it becomes a sin. Okay. Verse 13, and the publican standing afar off. Well, let's do that. You know what? This guy here in the Pharisee, he looks like it's more like a resume than a prayer. Look on the papers here. I just put this in the vernacular to try to. This prayer offered by the Pharisee sounds more like a resume. Oh God, it feels so good as I am. Look at all the sinners in the world. I'm so glad that I'm not like them. That's first mistake, right? I must have really impressed you with my holiness. I am so glad to have earned your favor. Another problem. Theological problems all in this mentality, right? Look at all the good things I do around your house. You must be very happy with me. I am particularly thankful that I am righteous and not like other certain people we know. Meaning, who? The publican. I'm glad I'm not like this guy. But let me go on, Lord. That is terrible. But let's see what happens. Verse 13, and the publican, the tax collector, standing afar off, you know, because the Pharisee is moving toward the holy place. He's bold, walking right, you know. But the publican is like, wow, I need to be on the back row. I'm surprised I'm even in this place. That's what it means. He's standing in the temple, but afar off, would not lift up so much as the eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, that's his heart we're talking about, And this is what he said from his heart. That makes all the difference in the world. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then Jesus drops this bombshell for all those people listening. I tell you, this man, meaning the publican who asked for mercy, went down to his house, what? Justified, meaning declared righteous, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. What does abased mean? Humbled. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Who will exalt us if we humbly admit our need for Christ? God the Father will, and he's the judge. Wow, that's great. Okay, let's look on our papers then. Here's the prayer of a humbled heart. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's good for believers too, amen? Yes or no? What are we saying when we're asking for mercy? Merciful. Please don't give me what my sins have called for and deserve. That's very important. When you're asking for mercy, you're asking, please don't give me what my sins have called for and rightly deserve. They deserve justice. Let's go to Hebrews 4:16. Under law on the mount in Hebrews, if you cross the line, justice will be served while they're given the Ten Commandments, and you will die. Make sure your cattle don't cross the line. Trying to earn holiness. You ought to be afraid to step into holiness if you're not holy. But if you are holy in Christ, come boldly before the throne of grace. Under the new covenant, God sent his Son to go through all that suffering. And the line crossed is the veil, which is his body. The torn veil is a crucifixion of Christ, his torn body. And at the end of it, the result is not justice, but grace. Give them grace, because the wrath, propitiation, has been absorbed by Christ. I love grace, don't you folks? A proper understanding of grace is the desire not to want to sin. It's not a license to sin. It's a desire not to sin. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace for two things. By the way, through Christ is why we can come boldly. Therefore, that's why I said, imagine yourself being beside Christ when you offer your prayers. It'll change things. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain what? Mercy. And then find grace to help in time of need. So by way of application, look on our papers there. We may obtain mercy when we humbly do what? We ask for it. We ask for it. You remember those on the road to Jerusalem when Jesus came in. Have mercy on me, Jesus, thou son of David. I know you're the promised royal seed that should come that will rule and reign. Have mercy on us. You are the one. That's what they were saying. Boy, the Pharisees, oh, they didn't like hearing that. But he is the one. Amen? We may obtain mercy when we humbly ask for it, but also, folks, we may obtain grace. Grace is broken down a splintered number of things, and I'll try to help you with a little bit of the understanding here. When we obtain grace, it's favor. God will guide us. Remember Ruth? Remember Abraham? Went out not knowing where they were going, but they looked for a city. We're just sojourners. Ruth would have loved to sing that song. Redeeming love hath been my theme, and shall be till I die. Ruth's about the romance of redemption pictured in her and Boaz. We may obtain grace, which is favor, guidance. Are we going through life depending on the grace of God? We should. Are we going through life realizing that the Lord has had mercy on us again and 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 again? Well, I need to get that down. I just couldn't stand myself, you know. It sounded like a banjo going off with that again and again. You know, it's true, folks. I hope that helps you remember it. God has had mercy on us again and again and again. We ought to be singing about it. Great is thy faithfulness. And then he gives us grace, what we don't deserve. Favor is guidance here. Blessing is provision. Have you been praying to be a Boaz in somebody's life since we've been studying the book of Ruth? Lord, make me a blessing to someone today. It doesn't have to be a great thing. Small things are blessings too. Small things are blessings too. Acts of kindness. And then strength. So grace is favor, guidance, blessing, provision, and strength for good works. This, of course, turns us away from self-focus like a Pharisee would have to be thinking of other people. How can we minister to a greater number of people in our life? And we get that when we humbly what? We just ask for it. Remember the book of James, you have not because you ask not. I like this one too, for the go to the next page. Remember, it's a throne of grace, not a I've earned the right to be here place. You like that little jingle? Never come to the Lord in prayer like we've earned a place to be there. God calls us to depend on his grace day by day. Recall these things to our mind about the mercy of the Lord. They are new every morning. They will renew us. They will strengthen us for today and give us bright hope for tomorrow. It would be a disgrace to the glory of God as God to think we had earned a right to come before him. Never, never, never in a million years, a billion years will that ever happen. We don't earn a right. Christ earned us the place. And all God's people say, amen. And then sometimes we're just a little too stubborn, a little too busy, maybe a little too hard-headed, or just presuming. We need to be praying. Don't be too proud to ask God for help when you have a need. Very simple. No new theology here tonight. Just don't be too proud to ask God for help when you have a need. We can be so focused on a problem that we fail to properly seek God's help. One of the problems with psychology is this. They tell you what the problem is, how you got there, but don't want to give you the answer. Well, you got this problem, it all formed this and that and that. And that. Okay, great. Give me the check and get out of my office because I got some, you know, $90 an hour and you're already 15 minutes over. They don't give you the solution. Tell you all the problems, but they don't give you the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. I already know I'm a sinner. I don't need somebody to lay me down on the couch and tell me that. I got a problem. Hey, Pastor Long. Every now and then, hey, Pastor Long. So-and-so's got some spiritual problems. And I just can't. Yes, I know. You do? Yes. And we have spiritual problems too. Oh. We've all got spiritual problems. We need the Lord and we need him every hour. Amen. James 4, 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now let me ask you, if you were to read James, I'll just tell you the answer. But what do you think the definition of proud is there? What is he alluding to? Sin, but there's a general thing in that passage in James. And you know what the sin is? The manifestation is pride. And you know what the sin is? You probably hadn't heard this one in a while. Failure to pray. little prayer. That's a sin. So we got to humble ourselves and pray. What should we pray about? Philippians 4, 6 or 7. We should pray about everything and we should worry about nothing. We've heard this stuff years if we've been saved for a while. We've heard these things, but you know what? We got to renew our minds and our hearts. That's what the truth does. So don't be ashamed to pray about something. If you're struggling with something, there ought to be enough maturity in the house of God here tonight, not to be a blabbing gossip, but actually being a help to one another. That's ministry. That's a deacon. That's a ministry-minded deacon. How can we help people in this situation? Whatever the situation is. Okay. But remember Christ's perpetual invitation, come unto me. Come often. Come boldly, knowing you are accepted by God the Father through your union with Christ. But always come how, folks? Humbly. We don't deserve to be there. It's because Christ had the veil rent from top to bottom. His crucifixion has allowed us to come boldly, not on our works, but on his work, to the very throne of God. I think it was John R. Rice that taught my father this song here. Now, I noticed you mentioned your dad a couple times. Well, my dad's birthday is September the 14th, and so it's like 6 years now since he's been in heaven. That's why. So, we would sing this at our house when we had our Bible time after supper. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich yet free. Amen. Let's head over to the West Wing. The young ones are coming into practice for Sunday night, I think it is. Okay.